Hello, welcome to Table Talk. This is Scott Porth alongside of Brent Kuhlman, enabling you in your healthy theological radio addiction. Good to have you on Table Talk today, folks. 2 Corinthians is where we've been.
Right.
Reading for understanding. A flyby kind of approach here. And
although I'm going to get bogged down.
Flybys and tangents.
Well, I've got a tangent, and we'll probably get bogged down still in 2 Corinthians, but I think it's going to be very beneficial for the listeners.
And if you will, the connection here is a verse that we've looked at already, but let's take a look at that again, okay? So in 2 Corinthians 5, right there at the end of the chapter, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Now, where in the world could you possibly go with that, Brent?
Well, you know, we're getting close to Christmas. We're in the Advent season, and we're going to celebrate, and we are preparing to celebrate, the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And as Matthew 1 says, that you will give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And in addition, in Matthew's gospel, this Jesus is also given the name prophesied by Isaiah, Emmanuel, which means God with us. So this is Christianity, brothers and sisters. And I want to tie the text from 2 Corinthians 5. He who knew no sin, that's Jesus, was made to be sin. And it's done for us, pure gift. So just as Jesus was given as pure gift at Christmas, so he is given as pure gift on Good Friday, hanging on the cross, winning our salvation. And the way that he does it, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, is he takes your sin, my sin, the world's sin, and he carries it and bears it in his body, and he endures its damnation. He endures God the Father's wrath. And so again, Matthew 27, in connection with 2 Corinthians 5, when Jesus cries out on the cross, praying Psalm 22, as he bears the sin of the world and its curse, its damnation, its hell, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, when we speak of this verse in 2 Corinthians 5, in connection with what I've said from Matthew, we can't help but think of Galatians 3:13. And that is, speaking of Jesus, where Paul quotes the Old Testament that if anyone is hung on a tree, they are cursed. And Paul says, well, that's Jesus. This is Galatians 3:13. He was made to be a curse. And notice, it's for us. So keep in mind, everybody, this is what Christianity is all about. This is salvation. And notice, it's done completely apart from you and apart from me. Jesus does it all.
I like how you connected the names, Emmanuel and Jesus. God with us in the flesh in order to save. And not just to save in any old way, but as you're pointing out, by becoming sin for us, by being hung upon the cross, by becoming a curse and enduring all of God's wrath.
And to be even clearer and to clinch it, if you will, when Jesus is conceived by the Holy Spirit, it's not Joseph that conceives him, it's the Holy Spirit sent by the Father. And so Jesus is both true man, we know that because he's born of the Virgin Mary, but he's also true God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. This is the Son of God, as Mary is told by the archangel in Luke's account. He is the Son of the Most High. And yet at the same time, he's true man in Luke's account of the Annunciation, because he's given the throne of his father David. Paul makes this same point in chapter 1 of Romans. Just read that on your own, everybody. Just read the first few verses of Romans 1. True man, true God, Son of David, Son of God. Now, my point is that the one who's conceived by the Holy Spirit, the one who's born of the Virgin Mary, and the one who hangs on the cross is not just a man. He's also true God. Now, why is this so important? Well, think about this, folks. If only a man died on the cross, then you're not saved. If it's only human blood shed on the cross, then that's like the blood of bulls and goats and calves and sheep. It doesn't atone for any sin. And so the God-man is the one who sheds his blood. This is divine blood as well. So I hope this makes sense for people.
Well, and this is the for you aspect of that.
God giving himself for you into death for your salvation.
If it's just man's blood, it's not for you. It's simply a man paying the penalty for his own if you will. But this is the holy, precious blood of the God-man, Jesus.
Right.
And so it is for you and for all.
That's why in our hymnal, folks, if you've got the old TLH, the Lutheran hymnal, you know, the 1941, or if you've got, you know, some of you might be old enough yet to, you were pre-1941, and you might have an old hymnal without the music in it.
Why is he looking at me?
Well, exactly. Yep, if the shoe fits, wear it, Porath. Or if you've got, you know, Lutheran worship, or if you have the Lutheran service book, look at the Holy Week hymns, especially the ones that sing what the scriptures teach about the meaning of Christ's death. And you'll notice that it says that God died. God died. If God doesn't die, now notice, when I say God died, I don't mean God the Father, and I don't mean God the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the second person of the Trinity who took on flesh. So when he dies, it's not only a man who dies, but it's the God-man who dies. And that's salvation.
And to say or to sing such a thing is scandalous to the world.
Oh, yeah, and even to some Christians, because they've been Greeked. And that's we'll get to that. I don't know if we'll get to it today or in the next table talk. Now, all right, so long, my front porch here got really long. Now we've got to get into the house. Let's open the door and get into the house. So I want to connect the 2 Corinthians 5 with Galatians 3:13 and Dr. Luther's commentary on Galatians 3:13. Again, keep in mind, he who knew no sin was made to be sin. And therefore, that's why Paul says in Galatians 3:13, he was made to be a curse. Now let's rejoice in this, what Jesus does for us. Now check this out. So if you have an American edition of Luther's works, it's volume 26, and I am looking at page 277, for those of you who want to check this out later. And maybe you could even read it online in PDF. I doubt it, but you never know. Ask your pastor to, you know, can I borrow your Luther's works? Boy, he'll be impressed.
What volume was that?
This is 26.
Okay.
Page 277. Now check this out. Luther says, Paul guarded his words carefully and spoke precisely. This is Galatians 3:13. And here again, a distinction must be made. Paul's words clearly show this. For he does not say that Christ became a curse on his own account, but that he became a curse for us. Thus, the whole emphasis is on the phrase, for us, gift, pure gift. For Christ is innocent so far as his own person is concerned. Therefore, he should not have been hanged from the tree. But because, according to the law, every thief should have been hanged, therefore, according to the law of Moses, Christ himself should have been hanged. Why? Because he bore the sin, or he bore the person of a sinner and a thief, and not of one, but of all sinners and thieves. For we are sinners and thieves, and therefore we are worthy of death and eternal damnation. But Christ took all our sins upon himself, and for them he died on the cross. Therefore it was appropriate for him, namely Jesus, to become a thief, and as Isaiah says in Isaiah 53:12, to be numbered among the thieves, or sinners, or transgressors. Luther's free with the text there.
Yeah, so not just he's hung between two transgressors, two thieves, but Luther's identifying him. He's a thief just like them.
Well, and this is Christianity. Let me continue. Luther says, and all the prophets saw this. That's not hyperbole, by the way. All the prophets saw this, that Christ was to become, now check this out, folks, the greatest thief, murderer, adulterer, robber, desecrator, blasphemer, etc., there has ever been anywhere in the world. He is not acting in his own person now. Now he is not the Son of God born of the Virgin, but he is a sinner who has and bears the sin of, now check this out, Paul, the former blasphemer, persecutor, and assaulter, of Peter, who denied Christ, of David, who was an adulterer and murderer, and who caused the Gentiles to blaspheme the name of the Lord. In short, Jesus has and bears all the sins of all men in his body, not in the sense that he has committed them, but in the sense that he took these sins committed by us upon his own body in order to make satisfaction for them through his own blood.
Do you notice the emphasis, folks, in his body, through his blood? I mean, this is, and therefore, the incarnation. This is why God becomes or comes in the flesh.
This is Christianity. And we probably won't get to it today because I want to read other portions of this commentary. But if you've been Greeked, you can't handle this. Now, that's one way of saying it. Or let's put it another way. The old Adam can't handle this. Or anybody can't handle it.
So we are all by nature Greeks.
We are. And so Scripture has to
explain,
teach us.
Explain, Brent, to the people what you mean by that. Or is that you want to put that down?
I want to put that off.
Okay.
I want to put that off. But this is the essence of Christianity, that Jesus, in his body, in his flesh, takes the sin of the world, bears it, and answers for its damnation. 2 Corinthians 5, he who knew no sin was made to be sin. And Galatians 3:13, he was made to be a curse for us. Let's continue. Luther goes, therefore, this general law of Moses included him, namely Jesus, although he was innocent so far as his own person was concerned. For it, namely the law, found him among sinners and thieves. Thus a magistrate rewards or regards someone as a criminal and punishes him if he catches among thieves, even though the man has never committed anything evil or worthy of death. Christ was not only found among sinners, but of his own free will and by the will of the Father. He wanted to be an associate of sinners, having assumed the flesh and blood of those who were sinners and thieves, and who were immersed in all sorts of sin. Therefore, when the law found him among thieves, it condemned and executed him as a thief. Now, what's interesting is the very next sentence, Luther says this, this knowledge of Christ is a most delightful comfort. Now, why would he say that? I'll tell you why. Because my sins don't belong to me anymore. The damnation that my sins earned doesn't belong to me anymore. Christ took it for me.
What a delightful comfort for Paul, chief of sinners though I be, for David, who knew his sin and his sin was always before him. What a delightful comfort for us.
It really is. So Luther, I'm going to skip down a little bit. I'm on page 278 now. He says, just as Christ is wrapped up in our flesh and blood, so we must wrap him and know him to be wrapped up in our sins, our curse, our death, and everything evil. Now, I think we're about running out of time, but do I have time for another sentence? I do. Here's the objection. So Luther, he plays devil's advocate to this argument. And here's the devil's advocate. But it is highly absurd and insulting to call the Son of God a sinner. And a curse, exclamation point. See, that's the objection. In other words, people hear what we're talking about, Scott, from the Scriptures, and they would say, that's immoral. That can't happen. Can't be. Well, Luther then says, if you want to deny that he, namely Jesus, is a sinner and a curse, then deny also that he suffered, was crucified, and died. For it is no less absurd to say, as our creed confesses and prays, that the Son of God was crucified and underwent the torments of sin and death, than it is to say that he is a sinner or a curse. But if it is not absurd to confess and believe that Christ was crucified among thieves, then it is not absurd to say as well that he was a curse and sinner of sinners.
Absurd. Jesus as sinner. Jesus the cursed one. Jesus the thief. Yeah, that really goes against our way of thinking, doesn't it? It goes against our old Adam. It goes away against the ways of the world. And yet, this is what the word of the Lord has said. Well, there's more to come.